This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your first stop for festival style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. Plus, their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience quite like it. If you can't make it into the store, just visit tecovas.com. That's TECOVAS.com. They offer free shipping on all boots as well as free returns and exchanges. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Howdy, folks. Nathan here with special guest David, and we're going to be talking about a few things today, including our recent trip, their recent trip to Camino El Diablo.
The Devil's Highway.
Yeah, the Devil's Highway.
We went to hell and back.
You guys really did. And you did it in two different vehicles, technically speaking, really one that was towing the other one. Yeah. And you did it with Alex and, of course, with Andre. Andre's not here this week. He's taking a week off. I believe he's in psychiatric care, so we're just going to leave him be, right? We're not going to call him right now.
Maybe I did it to him.
No, he said that you actually took a load off him. And we'll talk about that, too, because in this video, this podcast, we're going to be talking about what you did with his van, his Bohanka, and what you've done with the big Dodge.
Yep.
And then what you guys experienced on the trip. We're going to talk about that, but we're also going to talk about...
Don't forget about Frank.
Frank, the dog, the wonder dog. One of my favorite
he came
animals.
Too.
Oh, yeah, well, he had to because Alex is there.
Right.
Frank is Alex's dog, and Frank is the cool... He's like a mini pit type thing, and he's awesome.
He was a great traveling dog.
Was he really?
He was, yeah.
Yeah, that's really
cool. We had fun.
We will cover Frank as well. And then we're going to talk about your truck, which by the time you guys see this video, will have already sold on TFL Bids. And we're going to talk about some of your projects.
Okay.
And then we're going to end this video by talking about some stuff that's coming up with TFL, including Easter Jeep Safari, which by the time you guys see this, should be about a week away. But before we start with that, I wanted to talk about something that just happened. I know this is a truck podcast, but you guys might be interested in this. And this has to do with Stellantis or FCA or Dodge, whatever.
I think I know what you're going to say.
Yes, yes. I just got back from Las Vegas.
Yep.
I still have a couple dollars in my wallet, so it all worked out. And I did not get arrested this time, which is great.
And but you didn't crash.
No, not this time, which is great. I have a reputation to maintain. You know, something has to break, right? This event was for the Dodge Demon 170, which is the most powerful and final of all the Challengers Demons ever. 1,025 horsepower.
That's nuts.
It's out of this
world.
That's
just nuts.
945 pound-feet of torque.
It's a true muscle car.
It's beyond that. That's the whole point. They wanted to go out with a bang. And, you know, it's got special, basically, slicks at the back, which are street legal technically, very narrow tires in the front. The vehicle has gone through major weight loss.
Is it two-wheel drive?
Yeah, rear drive.
Is that right?
Yep. So all that power, just like the old days, goes through the rear end. Now, you know, I remember, you know, guys would tune cars to put out 1,000 horsepower, but Dodge, they have a point here, which is you could drive this thing every day as a daily driver and then take it to the track and absolutely destroy people on the track.
So I remember when the Viper came out. And, you know, it was, quote, the new muscle car.
Yeah.
But its problem was the back end would just break loose so easy. How does this do?
This is very different. And the thing with the Viper was really built to take around a track, so a road course. Whereas, and this is just a drag car. This thing is built for corners. So the tires in the front are very narrow. I think they're only 7 inches wide.
Interesting.
The ones in the back are nearly 12 inches wide.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, you got big fat meats in the back. But it's the end of an era, and why I mention that in a truck podcast is because now that cars are beginning to lose their big V8s and eventually their V6s, it's coming. It is going to happen with trucks in the future. Mm. Now, Dave, I know you've been exposed to a couple.
That would be a sad day.
It will be a sad day, but it also, you know, I'm a realist. I know what's coming, and so rather than, you know, I'm as a journalist, you know, I try to look at the positives and the negatives of everything, right? I try to keep an open mind. And we've recently driven several electric trucks and with varying degrees of success, I should say. Mm-hmm. And you've actually been exposed to them because wanted your perspective on this because you're old school.
I've got a lot of time behind the wheel of the Lightning.
Yeah.
Thousands of miles.
Yes.
So,
What did you think of that?
I love the driving experience.
Mm-hmm.
The driving experience was, you know, second to none as far as pickups go.
Mm-hmm.
It's the range anxiety.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the tough part. And I had it many times because I drove it from Tacoma. Mm-hmm. I flew out to Tacoma, picked it up and drove it back.
Right.
And I wanted to do a little, you know, kind of go off the beaten path and not have to follow the interstate. It's really difficult to do that in an electric truck.
It is. And I think electric vehicles in general right now, the infrastructure is just not there yet.
Yeah.
And so one of the problems you guys had, and you went all the way up to Alaska with the Northern Lightning Alaska trip.
Yep.
And that trip meant that you guys had to go through Alaska, which is essentially a rural state.
Yeah.
Right? You know,
Not
a whole lot of chargers.
Well, north of Fairbanks, everything, all the electricity is generated off of generators.
Mm-hmm.
Either natural gas
right.
up in Prudhoe Bay or diesel fuel in Coldfoot. So, you know, it's limited.
Yeah.
Super limited.
And yet you were still able to do it. You guys were able to get all the way up there, do the thing at Prudhoe Bay, and then come back. But it's very, very difficult, and you guys are biting your nails. And at the same time, you had to stop for many, many hours in some cases in order to charge.
Yeah.
So we
14, to be exact.
14. That's a lot.
Yeah.
And Roman and I, later on, we went cross-country in a Hyundai Ioniq 5.
Yep.
From Southern
Disney
California.
Disney
essentially, yeah. And that was a lot easier because we were going to major cities for the most part, and their infrastructure usually said, you know, at a Walmart or whatever, yes, we have fast chargers.
That's what I found too.
Yeah. So it's a change, and hopefully within the next, say, 5 years, from what I'm hearing, we'll get a lot more in terms of, you know, chargers and everything else.
Yeah, but it's the batteries that are still going to be the limiting factor.
Yes, they are. And there are new batteries that are coming out that will be hopefully less toxic, easier to mine and create, and hopefully are, you know, more robust and can hold more power. And that's, look at a cell phone. Back in the 80s, my mother had one of the brick cell phones.
One of those, too.
Yes, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And I think that she had to have the thing plugged into her car almost all the time. She had the giant battery on that thing. And it just, she was a realtor, and she just, that thing was just terrible. But look at how far the advances have come in terms of battery technology. Back then, I think they were using nickel metal hydride, which is what you would use in like a remote control car or something like that back then. Heavy as hell. Now you got these things which hold, you know, infinite information and can run all day or even a couple days on a simple charge. And the technology they're using in electric cars and electric trucks has a lot to do with the technology they're using in phones.
Oh, is it? I didn't know that.
So what they're doing is they're figuring out better ways of distributing the power, because they can get a ton of power.
Oh, yeah.
But you have to figure out a way of making sure that the vehicle gets that power and when it needs it, rather than just try to have one battery just flow everything in there all at once. You are able to actually move around a little things. You can have 5 or 6 packs that are actually putting power in, and when you get to a certain point, another one opens up. It's a whole bunch of different things that can happen. So,
don't you think it's the range though that's really gonna get all of America?
It needs to be every car needs to be over 300
yeah.
miles.
Well, so I just took a trip in my Suburban. I went to the Wrecker Games, you know, in Utah.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
How was that?
It was a great time. I actually just loved being there. But I took my Suburban and I put my bed in the back, put my mattresses in the back.
Right.
And the Suburban, well, it'll go 600-700 miles on one tank. You know,
but everybody needs to know what that Suburban is. It's not. I mean, that's your diesel, right?
No, it's not. It's an 01. It's an 01 Suburban.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
it's not the one I was thinking of.
But, you know, with a 5.3, but it gets 18, 19 miles to the gallon and a 30-some gallon tank, you know. So it goes a long way on one tank of fuel.
Right.
And that, I mean, the you know, especially out in Utah where it's just a lot of nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, that is so nice. Now, can electric cars do that? When's
only
that gonna happen?
Only one can do it right now, and that's Lucid Air. That one, technically, there's one version of it.
And you can't sleep in that.
I don't recommend it. It's pretty big inside, though. I've sat in one, but I guess you could sleep in it. But it's not really meant for that. But that technology that they're using is still for a very expensive car and a very heavy car.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot of resources in order to build that car. Yeah. And the same would go for a truck. But, you know, we've got the Cybertruck coming eventually. We have the Ford's out. The Chevy's going to come out real soon. The Ram's going to come out real soon.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, it's going to be really cool because you're actually kind of a mix of you're more of a Ram and Chevy guy, I think, is more of your thing.
Yeah.
So we'll be able to finally bring over something that's powered other than the Hummer, which, that you'll be able to actually get your hands on and really see, is it a proper truck?
Mm-hmm.
Other than Ford.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I both agree, I think, that the Ford drove great. It was
I mean, it could do truck things. We had the camper on it, and it handled great. I didn't tell Roman this, but I took it off-road a couple times on my way back.
Good man.
I had a good time.
Yeah. So
I was up at Vail Pass, and I took like this one over the top of it, dirt road, just rough as can be.
Uh-huh.
And I was hoping that Roman didn't have GPS on there.
He's too busy doing 50 other things at once. He wasn't. Yeah, I guarantee you.
But yeah, it does everything a truck does except for go a long way on one charge.
That's its thing. So, and Ford most likely will, I think, build trucks that have better range.
Yeah.
They were so fast with developing this thing. Yeah. That was what blew everybody away. They beat everybody to it. I mean, I know you guys are going to say Rivian, but Rivian was purpose-built to be that truck, right? They started from ground up. Ford took existing components and put them together in order to build this electric truck, which is pretty good. So with that being said, let's move on to the next part, which is this big diesel that you that you guys drove cross-country.
Yep.
Now, I want to let me see here how our timing's doing. Oh, our timing's doing great. So let's talk about this.
Yeah,
this
I'd love to give you my impressions on the Ram.
Yes. So let's talk about that Ram first.
Now,
this is our Trailhound project.
Mm-hmm.
The whole purpose of this is to be an overlander. Now, when we first got it, it was essentially a luxury line truck. We couldn't get the base model diesel. And since then, we've put a suspension, tires, and wheels, and brought it up to a lot more of a beefier truck for off-roading. And it's a diesel, so good range, already right out of the box.
Yeah.
Then you came along once we put in this AluCab.
AluCab, AluCabin fully, but they call it AluCab. And I love that. I mean, I slept in the lower part.
Uh-huh.
Alex slept in the upper part. And it's super comfortable as far as, you know, just the feel inside. I loved it.
Now, the picture we're looking at, for those of you who are listening, there's a picture, it's a beautiful one, of Andre's van next to our Trailhound project truck, and there's Dave and Alex hanging out there. I would imagine that Frankie's probably just laying down. And
I don't know where Frank went to.
He's probably inside the truck hanging out because he was a smart dog.
Probably chewing on Andre's leg because I think he took that picture.
It's the funniest thing. Andre used to not be a dog guy, and now he's becoming one because he just got his very first dog. It's hysterical watching him go through it.
Well, cool.
Yeah,
job,
it is.
Andre.
But anyway, but this picture sort of illustrates where you guys are, which is in the middle of absolutely nowhere. There are no telephone poles.
In the desert. Yep.
There's nothing. And you were, this highway, the highway of the Devil's Highway, essentially borders Arizona and Mexico. And yep. It's a very popular place for Border Patrol to run up and down.
So where we were camped here, you could see the border wall.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was maybe 400, 500 yards off in the distance.
And that's probably the only thing that's like man-made anywhere near
yeah.
you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Nothing but cactus and...
I've been on this road before, by the way.
Oh, you have?
Yeah, with a couple racers, but that was a long time ago, and it's rough. There are some sections that are remarkably rough.
Yeah, the terrain changes quite a bit. There's lots of volcanic activity back in who knows when that created all these mounds and mountains, and you have to traverse all this and keep your tires from completely falling off.
Well,
it's endurance.
It is endurance. Well, if you had a problem out there, it's not like you're able to pick up your phone and call because there's no cell reception.
A lot of places we didn't have cell service.
Right. And even with a satellite phone, which...
AAA ain't coming out there.
I believe Andre had an emergency satellite phone. Where this is part
we
of
did.
The TFL policy.
Yeah, we did.
We always have one out
yep.
there. But regardless, even that may not necessarily be enough to save you if something really horrible happens. So, this is why we built the Trailhound, to be a vehicle that can go out to these remote regions, be self-sufficient, camp, eat,
and
do
so,
your things.
And if so, tow the Bahunka all the way back if we had to.
Well, you towed it all the way there.
Yeah. Towing it out of the desert, because we didn't have the trailer at this point.
That's right.
So what we did, we drove to Gila Bend, and we dropped the trailer there.
Okay.
And then we drove all the way down to Ajo, which was like 40 miles, I think. So Andre had to take the Bahunka on the highway for about 40, 45 miles, and max speed is like 45, 50. So luckily, it's not a well-traveled road, so we weren't in any big danger.
So he could pull off to the side if necessary.
But he was overheated by the time we got to Ajo. For maxing it out at about 50 miles an hour.
Yeah.
So we had to take a little break there and put a little coolant in it. And then from there, we started our trek, filled up, and off we went for the next, I think it's like 10 hours on the, I think we spent like 10, 12 hours on the actual Devil's Highway, all dirt. And spent the night in the middle of it.
Which is clear from this picture that we're looking at. It's actually really cool. The picture, once again, if you're listening, the pictures of both vehicles, it was almost
cool.
Nighttime.
Oh.
And they hung out a string of lights, which is probably LEDs. And so there's a little party atmosphere
That was Andre's deal.
Yeah. Did anybody bring
a
banjo
to party.
Or a guitar or anything?
No, he brought his harmonica.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right. That's a good thing. The harmonica and Frankie the dog, it's more of the
It was all we needed for a party.
Yeah.
And some Mexican beer. We were having a good time. Yeah.
Yes.
We had a great time.
This is important information for those of you who think that TFL is a bunch of squares. Yes. We do occasionally drink beer, and when we do, it's good beer.
And Andre had this app on his phone that was the stars. I had never seen this before in my life. And you could take
the app.
I know
who we got that from.
And you could go like this.
Yes.
And then you could go like this. You could see the stars underneath you.
Right.
It's
so you've basically seen what's going on with the rotation of the Earth.
Yeah.
And wherever it's pointed at is able to show you the constellations.
And it was
so
dark out there that we could see the whole Milky Way. I mean, it's a cool feeling.
That's because there's no light contamination at all. Right. And that's what's so cool about that.
Yeah.
So why did we do this? Well, we're prepping the Trailhound to do other long-distance trips, and we can't confirm exactly what we're going to do with it. We're getting close to that, but that's the point of this. This is a shakedown trip.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe Roman initially was going to send me out on this, which is like, I'm glad I didn't go. No, actually, it would have been fun, but I had other things to do. So
I'm glad because I got to go.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's important that you went because you actually had a hand in both vehicles, I believe, in terms of designing interior components. And also, you have pretty damn good mechanical knowledge. So if Andre really blew something with the Bahunka, it's a pretty easy vehicle to work with. And you guys probably could have figured it out.
We might have been able to figure it out.
Yeah, which it did have some problems, and we'll get to that in a second. So let's back up a little bit.
Okay.
And let's get to what when you see here. Yep, we got a couple more minutes. So we're going to what was the prep for the trip? And that all starts actually with the Bahunka. And for those of you who don't know, The Bahanka is a Russian van. Essentially, it started life, I believe, as a military van. This one has four-wheel drive, straight axles, front and rear, a four-cylinder gas engine.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a three-speed manual. It might be a four-speed.
Four-speed.
It's a four-speed manual, very modern.
Yeah.
This is a communist-era truck. And what happened with these things, they were super cheap to buy overseas, especially in Eastern Europe. So there are a whole bunch of them out there. Bahanka, I believe the proper translation for that is loaf of bread.
Loaf of bread.
Yeah. That's because the shape of the vehicle resembles a loaf of bread. It is not what I would consider aerodynamic by any means, nor is it quick, nor is it powerful, nor does it have any torque.
But it's cool.
It is. It's super cool because it's kind of a mix of a bunch of things for people who live in the United States. It reminds me of an old Dodge van mixed in with an old Volkswagen van.
Yeah. And Jeep even had something like similar. There was a pickup truck.
Yeah, a forward control.
Yeah, where you're like right over the front.
Yep.
You're like on top of the tires.
Right, and that's similar to this, which is great for car accidents, by the way, because you are the crush zone. Which is one of the reasons why cab over style vans and pickups went away, because it's extremely dangerous. And the Department of Transportation probably said it's not a great idea. We're about to take a quick break, but before we do, we still have a minute. I wanted to talk about how Dave came to be part of TFL, and that is he's been a friend of ours for 5 or 6 years, I would say.
Three or four.
Feels like longer.
It does.
But it dates all the way back to when we did Gunsmoke and some of those other projects with some pickup trucks.
Yep.
Dave actually donated to TFL. We put some time and money into the vehicle, got it up and running, making it very nice. And then once we were done filming with it, we donated it to
Mountain States Children's Home.
That's right, Mountain State. And we've worked with them several times now, which is great because it's an excellent institution. And we've actually I've gone to the property, and it's a fantastic property for children who really need a special place to not only live, but go to school and grow up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a fantastic thing. And with that being said, we're going to take a quick break and we'll come right back and we're going to continue talking about the vehicle and how not only the van, but of course the Dodge. Dodge, I just said Dodge instead of Ram.
I say how old
I am. I said
I can't get
I
over
can't
it.
Say Ram.
No.
Anyway, so how the Bahanka and how the Ram got set up for this stuff. So stay tuned.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And we are back. So, first the Bahanka, because that's the first video I actually saw, and I actually wrote the story on this.
Oh, you did? Okay,
yeah, so,
sweet.
Yeah, I do that often for TFL Car and TFL Truck and TFL Off-Road. Now, the Bahanka essentially was a shell. There was very little in it other than the two front seats, the area for the engine, and there was a couple.
It had a little dinette.
Yeah, it had a dinette in
it. Two seats in the back. Yeah.
But that was all kind of useless, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And Andre wanted to overnight in this thing because this is his dream. He wants to take this van anywhere. If he can ever get it properly licensed, we'll see.
he's getting a lot of trouble getting the emissions passed.
It's a long, long story.
It runs
long
a little
story.
Little rough, a little think? Rich. Yeah, it's running a little rich. I'll tell you a story. I had it at the house. I was working on the structure in the back for his bed and storage, and I pulled it into my barn. And so the next morning, I went to pull it out. And, of course, it just wouldn't start. I mean, you just finally started. And about an hour later, the carbon monoxide worked its way up to my detector.
Oh, no.
And it would not shut off. You know, I just kept going. So, obviously, it's either tired or it's tuned wrong or something. So it needs a little help.
I think it needs a lot of help. I personally think that he should pull the plugs, pull the wires, replace all that just to start with, the rotor, of course. But the thing is, it's easy to say, not as easy to do, because we don't know if certain parts exist. We don't,
Exactly. So maybe a swap would be good, but even that, something to fit in that space. I mean, it's such a tight space in the cab of the van to find a little four-cylinder that, you know, you could fit.
I honestly truly think that he should get his hands on like a 22R out of a Toyota.
Yeah, that'd probably be the perfect.
Drop it in there. Yep. It outperforms this thing.
Yep.
And then put in a...
Maybe even use a transfer case out of the Toyota.
Well, and that's the thing, is that he would be better off using the transfer case out of the Toyota instead of this one, which is tired.
Yeah.
And I know it's really lumpy, so
But even if it was just a 22R or even RE, but R,
or even
it simple.
The 20R, you know.
Yeah, right. Keep it simple in there, make it fit, and then use. You know, it actually rode really good. I was impressed by that. You think, you know, it looks kind of rudimentary with all the steel springs, but it has. I think there's like 14 springs in each pack. And they're all very skinny. They're like a progressive spring, and so it did remarkably well on all the really rough terrain we went. He could use some shocks, though.
Yes.
I think we need to talk to Fox or somebody.
I think that you can right now buy Old Man Emu, and they will fill there directly.
That's a good idea.
That's what I've heard from some of you guys, actually, about that. But this isn't my van, so you guys have to talk to Andre about that. And I know some of you are like, hey, man, why don't you make that one an electric one? No. Let's not tell Andre to do that. Let's not.
Well, you think he might do it?
Yeah, he's thought about it, but after everything we went through with the last
with the
electric
Ford
conversion, I think he knows how difficult that is. Whereas
it's not easy.
No, dropping any new powertrain into a vehicle can be a pain, but we know people that can help him with that and make it happen. Now, what you did with this vehicle? Let's start with that. First of all, it came as you see it in the picture, which is, you know, big tires, knobby tires, lift sort of. It's up there. And Andre is a tall guy. He is close to 6'3", and he wanted to sleep in this thing. And it's not very big inside.
Well, it actually is, Nathan.
So?
Yeah, I mean, I measure it's like 6 feet wide, and it's from behind the front seat to the back is 9 feet.
But is that flat space?
Yeah.
Or is it – because I know what you built was sort of a riser – that actually turned into also a container, and then he could put a mattress on top of that.
Yeah, I mean, it all, other than the wheel wells, it was pretty much flat space. I mean, it's like our vans that we have, but a little, the way it's shaped, I mean, honestly, it's 6 feet wide. You could sleep sideways. Well, Andre couldn't, but I could sleep sideways in there if I wanted to. And there's not many vehicles that are that wide inside.
That's a good point. It's funny because it doesn't look that wide to me looking at it.
I know, but it is.
But I think it's because it lacks a lot of stuff that, say, modern American vans have, which is like insulation. It doesn't have any of that. It's just bare steel, basically.
Yeah, it's a tin can.
You built, if I recall, and I did see the video, and the video, by the way, it's great. I believe it's on TFL Off-Road, and there's the images. You're using your tractor as a forklift. And you're dropping the
luggage rack
back on top of this thing. And the luggage rack weighs a good 200 pounds,
It's heavy.
Yeah,
and it's solid. It's good
steel.
Russian steel.
Yeah. They got it off a battleship that was refined.
Yeah,
down. Yeah. It seriously is very heavy. I remember Andre telling me about it. And the reason he took it off initially was because it wouldn't fit in his garage with the roof rack on it.
Yeah, that's true. And he painted the top as well.
Oh, yeah.
He did a new paint job on top.
He loves to paint, and he loves orange toe
loves this thing.
Yeah. He absolutely adores this thing.
Well, you know, and I love it, too, because everywhere we went, Andre would get the waves. I mean, you just, anywhere you go, people like, oh, that is so cool. And then they wave and then they want to talk to you about it.
Absolutely. I can tell you that when I lived overseas, I saw these in the Middle East. Mm-hmm. I've heard that these things were rumbling all over northern China. Mm-hmm. They worked their way all the way down into Africa.
Mongolia.
I've seen them in as far as – I've been to Kenya, and I saw one there.
Oh, wow.
And it, because I'm a car nerd, so I'd go up and like, oh, what is that? Oh, that's Russian, you know, that type of thing. Yeah. And so they're all over the world. Not so much here in North America, but no. There's only a handful that are here.
Well, didn't Andre say they're still making them?
They are. I think they're still making a version of it.
A version of it, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And but the actual platform styling and a lot of the components date all the way back, I believe, to the late 1950s.
Yeah, yeah.
And it replaces a van that you know, that existed since the 40s. So
but it works.
But that's the thing. It does. Yeah. And it's old school. And for the most part, you should be able to get it running with spit and baling wire. You built an interior that had a flat section that he could use a mattress on, like a foam mattress, mm-hmm. where he could sleep comfortably. And being off the steel floor is huge when you're in a cold environment, so that way you don't freeze to death. Mm-hmm. And then that actually turned into storage underneath. Mm-hmm. So it had you had a hinge on it, I think.
I didn't put a hinge. I just made it so you could just lift it up,
take it out if you
wanted to. Yeah.
Right. And then on the opposite side from where he was sleeping, a nice shelving unit.
Yeah.
Which was really beautiful the way you did it, by the way. And once again, that video is on TFL Off-Road. And in that video, you also put the roof rack on. And then you guys went and did something very interesting. You realized that the tires, both the tire for the trailer, the spare tire, I should say, and the spare tire for the Ram,
the 37-inch tire, would not fit anywhere on the Ram.
No, it won't go underneath because it's just too big. There is a way you can build a bracket to put it underneath, but we just didn't have it.
Or you could have a fold-out or swing-out tire holder on the back, but then it just creates a whole nother point of vibration. If you put that much weight on a tire holder on the back, and you're just asking for trouble.
I agree. And then you're asking for – you're also adding weight.
Yeah.
And then you change the pivot point too, because you're actually adding to the tow hitch, right?
Yeah.
So the hitch goes up further, and that can actually cause some problems too in turning with the cantilever and the way everything is designed with the trailer. So by removing the tire from the trailer, which had to happen because there was no place to put it, and then removing the spare tire from the Ram, well, they needed a place to put it. So they put it on top of the poor little bohunka.
Yeah.
And so in this picture, if for those of you who are listening, both tires are hanging out on the top of the bohunka at the very back. And there's a reason I'm bringing that up, and I will get to that in a minute. So keep that in the back of your mind. That bohunka now has about 200 pounds worth of tire hanging all the way in the very back, but on the top, which is interesting for balance.
And he has his high lift jack in the back.
Oh, too. That's right. He's got the high lift back there. That thing
and
has
he had that Zendur battery back there as well. So there's a lot of weight.
That's
and that
right,
thing weighed,
in the back. I forgot about the battery.
That weighed 100 pounds or something.
Oh, I remember you guys putting it in there.
We put a lot of weight behind the back wheels.
Yes, which is not really what you want to do with a van that's got a bizarre center of gravity to begin with, but we'll get to that.
Well, but Andre was in the front seat.
Yeah, he's the dead weight that's needed to balance it out.
That's not saying I wasn't up there too, but
aren't you glad you weren't, right? Even though it does ride pretty good. Okay, and then, of course, the Ram. Now, we've talked about the basics. The Ram has had a lift, has tires, wheels, alu cab, and then
Alucab.
I keep screwing that up. And then some additional upgrades inside. Can you talk about what we did inside the Ram?
Yeah, so we also built a bed for me to sleep on, mm-hmm. and then a little storage unit underneath and a shelf, a place to put our table so that we could, where we cooked right here, we had that table that slid underneath it. And it all worked out well as far as getting all our luggage and all
our cameras. Are you talking about the table you're standing next to or the other one?
Yeah, the table there, it would slide underneath the whole thing inside.
Okay.
I tried to give it some thought before I built it.
And good usable space. And the good news is the Ram has already a ton of passenger space to begin with, and we use a lot of that for cargo as well.
Yeah.
Now, the Ram towed the Bohunka.
It did.
And the reason why is because with the Bohunka, for one thing, among many other things, that's the only main reason, The Mahonka cannot maintain highway speeds.
It would never make it over the Ike Gauntlet.
No. Not if he was in second gear and absolutely throttling it and hopefully not overheating it, he might make it over.
Maybe.
Maybe. But he would be, I mean, slower than most semis that are going up the hill with the hazards on.
Yeah.
It would be difficult. And
it would have been dangerous.
Yes.
That's the main thing. It would have been dangerous to try to drive this. I mean, it was bad enough when we took it off the trailer and going down to Ajo. But luckily, that road didn't have much truck traffic.
Right.
So, you know, people could pass us. But, yeah.
And I had a similar issue. I used to have a Suzuki Samurai.
Oh, yeah. You know what slow is then.
Right. So I tried to get it up the Ike Gauntlet. And it wasn't even – it was just like I was going 30 in a place where it's 75. And it's just like, this isn't happening. And, you know, these poor truck drivers – it's hard enough for them to get around you. Remember, they got to get around all those other idiots in traffic, and they got to get around all that. So I learned my lesson. So when we finally did bring it out to Moab, we put it on a trailer.
Of course.
Yeah. It was just for safety.
But see, that's something that I'd really like to talk about
as
far as the Ram goes, about trailering that, because we trailered essentially 2,000 miles. And I was a little skeptical about putting a huge lift on it and then towing. One thing that I did notice, it did squat a bit, but the squat did not affect whatsoever the ride or the handling. And I'll say this, of course, you know most of my trucks are, you know, back from decades ago.
Yeah.
So I'm not used to driving, you know, a modern truck, but the Ram was just like with that Fox shocks and. And the suspension, I mean, the thing drove like a dream. I mean, there were times, and I put quite a few of the miles on it, I forgot the trailer was behind us, honestly. I mean, that's how nice it rode.
That's what Alex said, too.
It was just incredible. I mean, so much better than the stock truck. Of course, you know, the power was always there, but it's just how smooth it pulled it.
I think that, and this is rare for us, I think we had really dialed it in right. We've done lift kits on almost everything we own at some point in time, and we've only had a couple successful ones where something wasn't compromised. Because you almost always lose something when you do a lift, right?
Yep.
You know, when you lift it up, for one thing, your economy is going to drop a little bit because, you know, you're no longer as aerodynamic.
And your payload.
Exactly. Your payload will suffer. Sometimes towing will suffer.
Yep.
But this one had a mild lift and fairly beefy tires.
Oh, yeah. It had 12, and I mean, they were wide. And that was one thing.
Right?
I mean, yeah, they're 37 tall tires, but they're probably 12-inch wide, 12 and a half wide.
And that's a lot of drag.
I mean, they you didn't feel that.
Yeah.
I never felt the drag. I mean, but they stuck to the highway because we had some high winds when we first started out, really high winds. And I was just super impressed at how well it did, even with all that accessories on there.
Yeah, and Alex, once again, Alex and Andre would back you up on that too.
And fuel mileage, I thought was pretty decent. So going up towards the Ike, you know, where you guys film all the time, we fueled up in Grand Junction, actually in Fruta, and we clocked about 11.
And that's towing with a heavy trailer,
exactly.
Well, you know, and
with the lift.
Yes, that's really remarkable. It's almost like. They designed it so you would do that and be surprised by what you'd come up with.
And then once we got on the flat, any guesses what we got?
I think 14.
14.22.
That was it.
14.22. Yeah, which was really surprising to me, too.
that's actually
lift, huge tires.
That's
wind load. Yeah.
Remarkable.
Yeah.
And then you have a, you know, fairly large fuel tank, although Rams aren't as big as GMs or Fords, if I believe. They're relatively small.
I wouldn't
small.
Know that one. Yeah.
But you still, I mean, the range is still effectively, you know, it's a pretty damn good range. I always recommend, I mean, people ask me, you know, what to take to, you know, overlanding. And this is what I consider proper overlanding, where you get to a point where the cell phone no longer works and you're away from society.
Yeah.
It's camping, guys. But it's camping where you're using something, a vehicle of some sort, to get as far away from humans as possible. And this is a really good example of it, but what you want is something that has a really good range. Diesels tend to be very, you know, fairly robust and economical at the same time.
Yeah.
And this is a fine example of that.
It did great. I got to tell you about this though.
Please.
So after we spent a little time in Moab and we four-wheeled around there for a few hours, got back in the truck, loaded it back up, and we're heading south out of Moab on a two-lane road. And Alex was driving at this point. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Bahunka's not light. I mean, we got the trailer's not light. Bahunka's not light. And we're coming up this hill, and a truck's coming at us. And all of a sudden, a little Sentra or something decides it's going to pass the truck. I mean, and it was coming. And, you know, you kind of expect, well, is he going to duck back in? Or is he, you know, it's not a Tesla, so he's not going around there, you know, in record time.
Right, it's taking a while.
It's taking a while. Right. The dude never ducks back in. And I was so proud of Alex because he just stayed in his lane. Because, I mean, what goes through your mind? The guy's coming
right
at you.
The first thing you're thinking about doing is pulling off the road a little bit.
Exactly.
Which, when you're towing, can be remarkably dangerous.
Exactly. But no, Alex, he just, and you can't stop fast because we got that much weight behind us.
Exactly.
But he put on the brakes fast and stayed in his lane, and that dude bailed on the right side of us into the ditch.
That's right. He told me, I thought it was a Jeep for some reason.
It was like a little, either a Nissan or Toyota or something
some
like that.
Some small compact car,
but probably not a fast one. And he bailed, and I mean, we just looked at each other afterward. Did that just happen? Our lives, and I was so proud of Alex.
Alex did everything within reason to be as safe as possible. He was taking off speed, maintaining his lane, and you never know what's happening behind you and what may happen on the sides of you. So by staying there at the last minute, he could have made some other adjustments if necessary, and he was slowing down to do that. But he wasn't hanging out on the shoulder with this big trailer behind him where he could jackknife or do something else.
He was being consistent in that way, telling that guy, I'm not moving, you're going around me. If anybody's going in the ditch, you are.
Right.
And he did. He came back out of it and the dust was flying, but I mean, our hearts were just like, holy smokes.
Yeah, well, that guy was being an idiot. And he he's lucky he survived. And lucky he didn't cause a major accident. And, you know,
that's the thing about overland trips. I mean, you never know what's going to happen. I mean, you know, there's always something on the road.
Well, and that's part of this. So let's get into, now that we've talked about the van and put the tires on top, and you guys are now driven out there. You're now in the middle of, frankly, nowhere.
Yep.
And it starts from, if I recall, Arizona, and it goes all through Arizona on the bottom, essentially.
Yeah, yeah.
Where it meets
Mexico. You're following
the
border.
Right.
Yeah.
And
come out near Yuma.
Exactly. So mm-hmm. Yuma. Now, in that area, there is some tribal land not too far away. And yes, the Border Patrol patrols it. But for the most part, that's it. There's really nothing else out there. There's no house. Nobody's tried to live out there or anything like that. A couple
weather stations, I think, were out
there. Yeah, there may be.
Because it's like four pieces of land. Some of it's military, some of it's BLM, mm-hmm. some of it's a preserve of some type.
Right.
And it's all kind of bunched together, but there's no structures of any kind out
there. No facilities.
Nothing.
And there's really, really rough road, including some proper off-roading areas as well, if I recall.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a super difficult trail, but you're certainly not doing it in your little Civic or your Crown Vic.
There
are places where you really do need four-wheel drive, and but it's more of just rough. You know, a lot of rocks. You're just bouncing. You're bouncing around a lot.
Some washboard in the area, too, and that type, which is always, I think, one of the roughest things you can, you know, go through.
Yeah. That's why we call it, that was a real shakedown.
Yeah, ways than one.
We got all shook up.
Andre had some technical difficulties with his Bahunka.
Yeah.
One of which had to do with a fuse that he had to take care of.
It was a resistor that turns the lights on and off.
Uh-huh.
And all of a sudden we started seeing some smoke, and then we started smelling electrical. And then we got up underneath there, and I touched a wire, and all of a sudden the thing just went poof, like almost in a flame, you know.
Smoke. Right. But the good news is that, okay, he lost his lights, but at the same time, that was it.
That was it.
Yeah.
And we shut it off. Carried on.
That's right. You guys let it rest a little bit.
Yeah.
And there were a couple other issues in terms of heat and whatnot, but for the most part, the Bahunka was pretty solid.
We had some vapor lock one time from all the shaking.
Right. But you stopped, you opened up the gas cap, let it kind of air vent a little bit, and then just put it back together.
Created
and
a vacuum, you know.
yeah,
all that heat and jostling.
It's a lot
fuel
to put your little Bohanka through.
Your body, dude. You just seen both of our bellies.
Yeah,
I
know all about the jiggle, believe me. So let's take a little break right now, and we'll come right back and finish this up. There's a lot more to talk about. And we're back. And, okay, so now you guys are off-roading. You're jiggling around, as we talked about. And the Bohanka is doing it, but it's not happy. But the Ram is just powering through.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we did have a light come on, but I mean, that might have been just from all the jiggling. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, the Ram, it was just like living, you know, driving in a Cadillac. Those Fox shocks and that suspension was just incredible. I never had experienced that before because I just drive stock trucks for the most part.
Right.
But it really made that ride smooth.
Because the entire crew was involved with this and we all sort of voiced our opinion about how we wanted to do this lift and what should work, this was an ideal lift. Now, it wasn't perfect, though. There actually was a little bit of a problem that Alex discovered later on, which Fox fixed. I think there was some sort of a brace or part of a strut that actually...
Yeah, the sway bar was making contact with the reservoir because they have to put the reservoir somewhere in that wheel well.
Right.
And so the placement was a little tight. So when I was at full articulation, it would come up and make contact. So they probably just moved it up a little bit.
I think
bit.
That's all they did. It was a real simple
fix. It's pretty
simple. Right.
But yeah, that's the only hitch we even had.
And after that, you guys were able to put the Bohanka back on the trailer and drive it all the way back.
Yeah. Yeah. Relatively. I mean... like I said, I can't tell you how comfortable just riding in that truck over, you know, when you typically load a trailer up, you expect to feel your trailer behind you. You know, you feel, it's hard to explain.
Well, the seat of your pants to a certain degree.
Yeah.
Sometimes you'll feel it click or bounce or whatever.
Yeah, you feel that, but no, it was pretty nice.
And it didn't care. It just went as if it wasn't there. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a beast.
It is a beast. It is a beast. That 1,000 pounds of torque is pretty awesome.
Yeah,
it's
I think 900. Whatever.
Yeah, 900.
It's not the super torquey one.
No,
but
it's not the
freaking torquey. Yeah. But nonetheless, it was a successful trip. We figured out certain things that we need to tweak and whatnot for both vehicles, really. And so further adventures to be had with both, of course. But I wanted to talk about some different trucks now because now that, and by the way, the videos that show the shakedown, that show Dave's work on the inside of the Bohanka, and another a towing video, all of those are on TFL Off-Road, TFL Truck, but you can go to alltfl.com and you can easily scroll and find all of those videos as well. Now, one thing about Dave is that he has a couple trucks on his property.
Maybe like... 2 or 3 or 10 or something like that.
Yeah, double digits.
10 maybe. Yeah, 10.
Yeah. And we've seen a lot of them. The cool thing is the majority of them run, which is really cool because there's an awful lot of guys out there who collect trucks and they'll just kind of sit there.
Yeah.
And you do like to do projects.
Yeah.
And we've seen a few come and go, including the one that, once again, by the time you guys are watching this video, what truck was it that we just sold?
It's a 1990 GMC 3500, one-ton, crew cab, square body, which kind of makes it unusual in that right, but what makes it even more unusual is that I put a 5.9 Cummins in it
and,
about 3-4 years ago.
And it runs like a top.
It does run really good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like the new Cummins, but I mean, it probably has 500-600 pounds of torque, and, you know, we'll pull whatever gadgets you got on a trailer.
Well, used it. You really properly used it. It's actually
I use it on the farm, hauling hay, hauling my camper. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, it spent towing. About 20,000 miles of it was towing my camper.
And you take it up to Alaska, or was it Maine? I know
took it. I took it to I didn't take it to Maine. We took the other truck to Maine, but Michigan, Wisconsin.
It's the same thing as Maine.
Way up there somewhere in
that way on the
cold
other side
country.
Of the, it's the other side of the Mississippi. I don't really care. I know.
Yeah.
And that vehicle, why did you decide to get rid of it?
I bought another project.
Ah.
So I bought another square body that I'm going to work on. But my wife goes with me in the camper, and we bought another truck because it's a little too loud.
You mean something that has a big Cummins in it? It could be a little loud?
Yeah. A mechanical P-pumped Cummins, 12 valves, a little loud. And and even though I love driving it, it just spending 7 hours, 8 hours, 9 hours pulling a camper, we didn't enjoy it.
I got you.
So I bought a third-gen Cummins truck, dually, and that's what we pull the camper
and
with.
You could probably safely say that that's a much more comfortable vehicle.
It is. Around. It is. A lot.
That was a rear drive truck,
yeah, and
right?
it's just a two-wheel drive, but it was my cousin's, and I bought it used from him with 200,000 miles on it, and he fixed everything. So, I mean, I just get in and drive it, and it gets great fuel mileage and has no emissions issues.
Right, right.
And that's what I love about it.
Yeah.
It's a 5.9 Cummins without all the emissions crap on it. So I'm going to keep that one for a long time.
I bet you are, yeah. And so there are other projects on your property, and one of them recently, and I did a little bit of writing about this one, has to do with a wrecker that you brought onto the property, and some of the components you're going to use on a different project from that vehicle.
Yeah,
and others.
Yeah. So I wasn't looking for a wrecker.
I know.
Even though I enjoyed the wrecker games,
I'm
not going into the wrecker business.
But you bought one, and you brought it onto your property, and you bought it for very, very little.
Well, it's because I was looking for a one-ton. And you know what the special thing about one-ton square bodies is?
The axle?
The axle. Mm-hmm. The front axle in particular.
Right.
A Dana 60 front axle, kingpin axle. That's what everybody wants. And, you know, in fact, a lot of the guys at the wrecker games, three of them, that's what they run on their trucks. And that's what I was looking for.
And the
wrecker came with it.
Right. But why are you looking for that? I mean, what do you have in mind?
I want a rock crawler.
There it is.
Yeah. I mean, I got inspired by, well, I could probably say it, a Rory Irish. He has Trail Mater. Mm-hmm. I love you, Rory. I love that guy.
Rory's good.
Well, yeah. What he does. Yeah. And he just inspired me that I got to build me something like that, you know?
Well, now's the time, right? Yeah. I mean, why not? So what do you have in mind? I mean, what do you see with this thing?
Well, I don't think it's – I'm going to take the wrecker bed off.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably just going to be a farm work truck that I can take into the rocks if I want to.
Okay.
I mean, that's – it's going to have a flatbed.
Mm-hmm.
I might even make it so I can have either a gin pole or you know, like a wrecker pole – with the winches and all that mm-hmm. I could take on and off if I wanted to.
Right.
So I could use it that way. So I could either pick up a round bale of hay out in the field. But it's going to be my farm truck, play truck, all wrapped up into one. And the one I had, you know, being a crew cab, it's a bit long for that kind of thing.
Right.
So I'm going to shorten the wheelbase on this one a bit, put all new suspension, crossover steering. I'm going to have a built-up 454 with a Holley fuel injection system.
I'd say the 454 is one of your favorite engines.
It is my favorite engine,
Judging by all the trucks that you've had that have had a 454 in it, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so yeah, I'm going to make it a proper work truck, fun truck, capable truck.
Yeah. That's awesome. So the cool part is, because we have a good relationship with Dave, we're going to be able to kind of keep tabs on this, and perhaps as he starts building it up, maybe we'll give you some coverage, which will be great, because then maybe one of us can play in it too.
Yeah, it's probably going to take me a year or two, but that's the fun of it. That's why I'm selling this one, because I can have some money to do what I want.
That is extremely important, because A, Dave will get it done. B, we get to play with it at least a little bit and video it, which is all cool.
And I get to learn all at the same time.
Exactly, because you've never had one before.
No, and I didn't know anything about Cummins before I did the Cummins swap.
Right.
But, I mean, I spent hours just researching it and watching videos and teaching myself and asking questions. And that's why on this project, I'm going to do the same thing. That's why I love looking at the off-road wreckers, because they've already been through all this, know what works and what doesn't work and what lasts and what, you know, gives up. And so I'm just going to kind of copy some of their stuff, but, you know, make it my own all at the same time.
Maybe next year at next year's Easter Jeep, or sometime in between now and then, we can get it out to Moab and really have some fun.
That would be fun. Yeah.
That would be a lot of fun. There's some great places
for
real articulation, not the little stuff that we do with, you know, trucks that come from the automaker. We can't kill those trucks, or else we would take them on heavy duty trails. But nonetheless, and I wanted this to sort of round out our podcast here, because by the time you guys hear this, Roman and I will be at the, with Tommy, by the way, at the Easter Jeep Safari.
I'm fun.
Yeah, it's a blast every time. Jeep has invited us. We will be driving some of their prototypes off-road, probably limited off-road because they don't want us breaking them, including some additional drives that we'll be doing with Jeep as well. And then on top of that, at the exact same time, Andre and Zach and I believe one other will be in New York covering the New York Auto Show, and there's some really important stuff that I can't talk about that's going to debut there. Huh? So basically, it's going to be an empty office, Dave. If you want to come here and
you
hire,
might need me down here.
Come on out and party. This is party central.
Oh, is it?
When Roman's not here, I say it's party central. And
we can have some Mexican beer, can we?
Absolutely.
Okay, awesome.
Get big kegs, bring them on. Yeah, bring your friends and have a big party. I always say a fire pole would be great to have for friends. And, you know, don't be afraid to decorate our vehicles that are sitting here. Last time Roman was gone for a couple of days, I did get my hands on, you saw what I did to the stubby.
Yeah, I did see that.
So
I get my pick of vehicles while you're gone?
Absolutely. Okay. Take whatever you want. They're not mine. So enjoy. Sorry, you didn't hear that. No. Okay, so all you guys out there, don't worry about it. You heard nothing. But nonetheless, we're going to be out at Easter Jeep Safari and at the same time at the New York Auto Show. That is coming up very soon by the time you guys hear this. So stay tuned for that. Plus, we have more content coming from, four other events that we've come back from. So once again, by the time you are seeing this and hearing this, those events are going to be right around the corner if they haven't already landed on alltflcar.com or alltfl.com. I'm really bad at that. Andre's much better at remembering all of our websites and everything else. Look, we got four websites, eight channels.
Just search TFL.
Seriously, just search TFL. Okay, guys, thank you so much. Dave, thank you so much, man. It was a great
pleasure
talking to you.
Yeah.
Had a blast. Guys, if you have any questions or comments, put them down below. I guarantee you we'll be looking at them. Maybe, Dave, you can even answer a couple of them if you see them down
there. Be glad to.
Yeah. All righty. So there you go. You get to talk to the man himself. Don't forget, if you want to talk to us directly, Patreon is the way to go. And it's the best way if you have a specific question that you want answered immediately through one of us. That's how you do it. Thanks again, guys. We'll see you next time.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.